Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday and happy June. Happy Monday and happy June. Jeffrey, you've complained that it hasn't felt like summer out there. Now, today, 88 degrees is going to be the high.
Again, I'll know when I know.
When will you know?
It's less about pure heat. It's the humidity.
It's
when you walk out and you can smell it.
And is this are you looking forward to this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you like the soaking heat.
Oh yeah.
Even if it's hot today, it's not going to be soaking heat.
Correct.
Right. And so you'll know we're not here yet. Anyway, it is June, today on the radio show, we got Chris Herndon straight up at 10 o'clock. He's got a piece up at the Daily Memphian, which I would urge you to read. About four lessons, and we'll be talking about this a little bit throughout the show, four lessons the Grizzlies can take from these NBA finals. Did you have a good weekend, Jeffrey?
I did have a good weekend. Jeff, how about you?
Anything notable?
Not really. We got to play a little golf this weekend, despite all the rain, so that was nice on a Saturday. And then I dipped my toe into betting women's golf. I think that's a first for me.
Really? It's interesting. I read a piece over the weekend about women's golf. They've got a new commissioner.
Yes.
Women's golf has a new commissioner. And the point was this. The general conceit of the story was women's sports blowing up everywhere, right? We saw a women's soccer team sold for an astonishing amount of money. I think
it was one of the Kansas City teams sold for a lot of money. Yeah.
A women's hockey league is now doing pretty damn well. We know about the WNBA is doing well. Women's college basketball is doing well. All of a sudden, we're hearing everything. I'd never heard a word about women's college softball.
Yeah, until this weekend.
Well, no, the last week.
Yeah,
whatever. The last week or so, you've heard a lot about women's softball. And in the context of a universe where there is more and more attention on women's sports, and that's wonderful to see, the one sport where women have always actually had a fair level of attention, like I remember covering the U.S. Women's Open in Mississippi.
At Old Waverly.
At Old Waverly.
Yep.
I went down there and covered that. It's not blowing up in the way that, you know.
I would say the same thing with women's tennis, too.
And women's tennis, too?
Yeah.
Is that also true?
Women's tennis is running into the problem.
Women's tennis has probably been the...
Right.
Except for if you put aside, if you say... Putting aside the Olympic gymnastics or whatever else. See, Mary Lou Retton was arrested for DUI last week, by the way.
There's been a lot of...
She sort of had a rough go of it.
Like, remember, like, she was soliciting money and now
that's... Oh, no, there was a GoFundMe and
That's sad.
That is sad. But anyway, so women's tennis is not taking off either?
The problem with women's tennis right now, well, I think what we've kind of figured out with tennis in general is we can say we like parity... But there are certain sports that don't really need parity. Tennis might be one of them.
For the longest time, we said we needed an American, great Americans.
Yeah.
And the last great American, Andy Roddick.
Yeah, on the men's side. He's the last Grand Slam champion.
On the women's side?
Serena's the last.
Serena, yeah, of course.
But, I mean, like,
and she was obviously
Coco and Sloan have had some success. Like Jess Pegula is good, but she's not a major champion. Kind of same thing with Madison Keys. But the problem that you see in women's tennis in general is they just don't have, like, they just do not have a dominant figure.
Right now at the French, there's controversy. Hey, welcome to June, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct, baby.
At the French, there's controversy because they, the women are complaining that they're not getting this, the high profile time slots.
Yeah.
Right. And so, anyway, there you go. So yeah, it was interesting, but you bet women's golf. How'd you do?
We came out on top. It was as simple as I was watching because I've played the course that they were at, and I was like, okay, I don't remember this. Maya Stark, the Swede who ends up winning, I just saw everybody around her was like falling apart, and I was like, yeah, I'll take a shot because she was leading by
amazing.
Two. She was leading by two at the time, golf. But she was playing most solidly, and she was like plus 300.
She's
like,
a Swede.
Yeah, I was like, I'll take
continue
this.
To be solid. Yeah. Right? Two interesting things for me over the weekend. One, I went to the light bulb depot. Have you ever been there on Broad?
I've not.
Light bulbs are a scourge, and my house must have, I swear to God, 18 different kinds of light bulbs.
That's the problem. It's like, the lack of consistency.
It's just crazy. Some things
Does this
are,
one fit that?
Some things are unnecessarily difficult. One is the ways in which we plug in and charge up our electronic devices.
Sure.
Why the hell can't that all be the same? Right? Like we got seven.
Why is there not a universal?
Well, it's
yes.
just like irritating as hell.
Yep.
I do understand that you need different light bulbs for different purposes and in different places and whatever right. else. But there should.
But not anyway, to the degree.
I shouldn't. It is amazing. It is a Memphian who started this store called the Light Bulb Depot. It's over on Broad. Now there's locations all across the Southeast. But anyway, I was in there and they were helping me find all the different. Because could I do it? Not a chance. Match all my light bulbs to what I needed. And the folks in there and
did you have to like take pictures of?
No, I brought in a bag with all the old light bulbs.
Got it.
And okay. then I had a little piece of tape attached to each light bulbs that I need four, two, six, whatever. I brought one of each kind of light bulb that I needed. And then, but anyway, at the end they said, do you have an account with us? And I said, I don't think so. And they said, what's your name? I said, Calkins. And then the level of joy that they had because of this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
It was just wonderful. It's just it was just not, and it wasn't just this show. It was although they're particular fans of Fish on Friday on Tuesday, but it's funny. Like I was saying, you know, it's amazing to have all this talent at one radio station. And I said, yeah, and that's you know, and I said we lost, you know, and we lost Vernon along the way, and we lost GP along the way, and we still keep going
Eric.
Along. And the guy literally said, and Giannotto, he immediately, and of course I love Giannotto. We do miss Giannotto. But that was nice. He said, I listen all day long. He did say, I don't know how Gabe does it. You, Jeff, get the first crack at everything. You get the easiest job because you've got the first crack at everything. I do think there's something to that. And when I'm on with Gabe saying the same things that I said at 9 a.m, I feel a little whatever.
Repetitive.
So I do think it's a different challenge. Don't you think in an afternoon show? The news can break, but it's a different challenge in an afternoon show.
Yeah. I also think, though, sometimes being first in the morning, like you have to, mornings are different. You have to bring a different energy. I think as the day goes on, like people kind of like get into a rhythm.
Settle in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was nice. And then the second thing is I just decided on a whim to get Gus's takeout Friday.
Okay.
And I was reminded how spectacular Gus's is. It's just great. And it is, in fact, now, my son, Peter, said he's boycotted Gus's since they changed their mac and cheese recipe.
Mm.
Are you aware?
I appreciate his stance.
Are you aware that they did?
I'm unaware that
he
they did.
He said it used to be spectacular, and now it's not as good. And
well, that's disappointing.
As soon as he tasted it, he's like, yeah, no, it's not the same. But the chicken's unbelievable. And then literally, by sheer coincidence, Friday, I got a text from my friend Mark in Phoenix, who said, I'm here at my favorite Memphis restaurant.
Houston's?
No, that's it. There's a Gus's in Phoenix.
Did not realize that.
There's at least two in Phoenix, and he was at the Gus's in Phoenix and says it's spectacular. I do think, here's one of my takes. I think that if I have visitors to Memphis, you know, for 3 days, right? So I'm visiting Memphis for 3 days. One of the restaurants that I will absolutely hit, 100% hit, is Gus's. Is the one that you would absolutely hit, Rendezvous?
Yes. I mean, like,
if someone's coming into town, right, hadn't been here before,
like,
whatever.
If Charles is coming into town, maybe I'm picking something else.
Right, because it's pork. Right. You know, he's not a big pork guy. But it would be the Rendezvous?
Yeah.
That's the one that you would absolutely pick?
Yeah.
I can see that, too. But anyway, so it was nice. It was nice to see that the Gus's is being spread across the country. It wasn't nice, or does it feel cheap? He said it's very good and very, it feels authentic. His wife had been to the one in Memphis.
No, I don't have a problem with the franchising.
Changing the franchise?
Yeah. Okay. I think I've had some buddies out in L.A. that have eaten it and liked it.
There was a lot of sports that happened. It was weird, though. A lot of it was not your most
high profile.
Right. You're betting women's golf.
Yeah.
We had women's softball stories, which we will get to, by the way. Women's softball stories. We had NCAA baseball stories.
Yes.
Absolutely. We had a very high profile Major League Baseball series between the Yankees and the Dodgers. And what else did we have along the lines of, we had golf, we had Scotty Scheffler. Like, there was a lot of stuff happening that was not the stuff that we typically talk about, right?
Yeah, Max Verstappen, road rage in the F1 race.
We had the French. We had the
French. French Open. Alcaraz, Ben Shelton was a great match.
So we had the, but the main event was obviously the Pacers advancing to the NBA Finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder, defeating the Knicks 125-108. I said before the Oklahoma City series against Minnesota began that they would win the title in 10 games or less. How you feeling about my take?
I feel pretty good. I am open to the idea that the teams that have given the Thunder a decent amount of trouble, if we can say they really have. But like, what has been effective against the Thunder is if you take care of the basketball and you take shots early in the shot clock so they don't allow, you don't allow them to get their defense set. So I am at least open to the idea that Indiana can kind of fit that profile. It just feels like, though, there's just going to be such a disparity in talent.
It's funny. There's going to be a lot of talk, or maybe it's even overblown, about the TV stuff, right? About the TV rating, small markets, all that stuff. This is the 25th and 47th biggest TV markets in the country. But as we've said before, the amount of money that the league is getting for these games is set. It was, they just signed a new deal.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter to the league from that, from the amount of money they're going to get. It might matter to the networks, but it won't matter to the league.
No, you know what's been really bad for ratings? Is the Thunder have been killing
people.
Well,
that's what I was about to go to say. The problem isn't the market size.
Yeah.
The problem is what you want is
interesting games.
What you just saw in the, like, the ratings for the Pacers and Knicks were terrific. Because, not because New York is a giant city, although that certainly helped, but because the storylines were great.
Yeah.
And the games were great. And did it matter that one of the teams is the 25th biggest TV market? Didn't seem to. Were we not entranced by Tyrese Halliburton and the choke sign in game one, and then wearing the funeral, the black garb, as if he's coming to a funeral?
The theatrics.
Over the weekend, the theatrics. Like, so what you had was, you had a competitive, compelling series. Now, it wasn't a particularly long series. Like, that's what you want. You want compelling games, and then you want a long series. That's the main thing you want. You want more and more and more games. And so the problem with Oklahoma City is not that it's the 47th biggest TV market.
Right.
It's that the star power stuff, like, no one cared when LeBron was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's much more about, it's much less about market size than it's about, we don't know these stars as well yet, one. And two, it could be a 4 or 5 game series and they're murdering people.
Yes.
And who the hell wants to watch that?
Right. And it's not like, oh, they run away, like, they run away late. No, it's like a lot of these games, you turn it on and you go, this is over.
But certainly halfway through the third quarter, it's always over. Yeah. And I mean, were you interested? I wasn't. Maybe some of you, obviously I didn't, because I was telling you Oklahoma City would win convincingly over Minnesota. Maybe some of you had talked yourself into that series. It was not an interesting series in the least.
No, you had a slight chance, I think, if Minnesota could have pulled out game four. I think it still would have been, I think you would have wound up with the same result, but you could have at least talked yourself to, all right, both teams won their home games, and now we got a three-game series. Let's see how it goes. The last game was a competitive game. Let's see if we can get more competitive games.
If you want to talk yourself into the Pacers against the Thunder, well, first of all, the Pacers have been playing spectacular basketball the back half of the season, right? That's one thing.
I mean, what's the stat? I believe since January 1, they have the most wins.
The second best team in the league to the Thunder. So that is one thing. Secondly, they have a very low turnover rate. They're third in the league, I think.
Which, by the way, I do think is something, because part of the reason why you and I did not like Minnesota's chances at all before that series began was like,
wait a minute. Yeah.
We have a team that is dominant at forcing turnovers and a team that is lazy with the basketball.
Right, no,
that doesn't feel like a good recipe.
Whereas the Pacers, as fast as they play,
are very good.
They have the third lowest turnover rate in the league. And then the other thing is that they've shot 40% from three in the playoffs. And what Oklahoma City does is they do give you. Now, we know that teams don't shoot the three as well against Oklahoma City for one reason or another, but they do actually give you threes.
Yeah.
And they don't let you get to the rim, but they do give you threes.
They do not let you get in the paint.
And whether it's like Miles Turner can shoot from three, he's shot 40% from three in the playoffs. Nesmith can obviously, shoot from three. He shot 50% in the playoffs. Nembhard was struggling the other night, but he shot 48% from three in the playoffs. So you got a bunch of players, pretty much all of them can shoot from three for the Pacers. So if you want to talk yourself into it, I think that's how you can sort of talk yourself into it. You can also say, listen, we got electric. We got two all NBA point guards. Right, literally, the two all NBA point guards. Now they're very different point guards, right? One is a 32.7 points a game point guard, and one is a 9.2 assists a game point guard, right? Like they're very different point guards. But this is the first time that you've had all NBA, first team all NBA point guards going up against each other since Steph and Kyrie in the finals, and so.
And that was an awesome finals.
Well, yes, and so and then you've got the problem is that just look at the guys that Oklahoma City has to throw at Halliburton. They got Dort, they got Wallace, they got Caruso, Jalen Williams can even do it. Like, and in the last 2 years, in terms of shot rate, his ability to get off shots against an opponent. His highest shot rate against any opponent was against Jalen Brunson. Like he can get shots off against Jalen Brunson. His lowest, Lu Dort. And in the last 2 years, that's four games total, Halliburton up against Oklahoma City averaged 12 points a game. They have done to him what they do to players.
I don't think there's a lot of people out there right now that are playing their best when they play the Thunder.
Best against them. So, listen, we will absolutely hope for the best. I hope it's a thrilling final, and who knows? Like the Pacers turned it. You asked me,
are you rooting against your take?
No, Oh yeah, I don't care about my take. Okay. I want a good series.
I respect that.
I want a good series. The other take that I. Well, really, before that Knicks Pacers series began, I told you I thought I'd be rooting for the Knicks, and it offended you, mm-hmm. right? You thought it, and you'll be glad to know that
justice prevailed.
Over the weekend, I was 100% rooting for the Pacers. Mm-hmm. I discovered myself rooting for the Pacers. I didn't want New York to have that storyline. I didn't want it to go back to New York. I wanted the Pacers. I just think the Pacers have been so much fun.
No, I agree.
That I wanted that to continue.
I was more surprised that Harrington had that opinion, because Harrington has watched a lot of the Pacers and finds them fun. That was what surprised me.
I think, and I don't want to speak for Chris, I think Chris does appreciate suffering, and I think he believes that Knicks fans, in fact, I think he said that, have suffered, you know, and that in one reason he's anti-Laker is because there is an entitlement there.
Right, and everything works
there
out.
There's entitlement there. Everything, well, yeah, their suffering lasts for 3 years, and then they get another star dropped into their lap, right? Mm-hmm. And so.
And don't have to give up much.
So I think he respects the roots of basketball in New York City, which are deeply authentic as opposed to LA, right?
100%.
You know what I mean? And then.
New York City is a much bigger basketball.
And then you have
city.
To respect the suffering of New York City. I don't want to speak for Chris, but that struck me. So you've got the. But back on this Knicks and Pacers series for a moment, the startling thing was, you know, we had the whole conversation with Greg Doyle asking Pascal Siakam
yes.
why they didn't try harder, basically. How is it possible that the Knicks wanted it to more? Which, in the end, my problem with that question was it wasn't really a question. He knows that in certain circumstances teams play harder than others. It was outrage masquerading as a question
yep.
is what it was. You know, it was his disapproval masquerading as a question. And that's what I didn't find appealing about it. But the truth of the matter is that you then wonder, you go back to Indiana, and with a win, the Knicks can take it back to the Garden, and then who the hell knows what's going to happen? Right, exactly. In that circumstance, you're getting beat down the floor over and over and over again off made baskets?
The second half.
Speaking of the third quarter, speaking of how does that happen? To me, that would be the question to the Knicks. How does that happen? And it's a more legitimate question.
Yeah, no.
That in game six, you are being beaten down the floor time and time again off made baskets?
I mean,
to
me, the answer was go back to game five. The Pacers knew, all right, let's get them at home.
But how do the Knicks allow that?
I mean, to me, it's almost like you strategically pack it in.
Well, that's fine. So, that's fine from the Pacers' perspective.
Right, but they had
okay.
But I think they conserved more energy and they were able to go all out. And then on top of that, like, you know, the amount of depth that the Knicks don't have starts to render as the series goes on.
I wonder if it was as much Knicks worn down as it was. It's weird because the Knicks have given up all these draft picks to have all these wing defenders that every other team wants, right?
Well, I mean,
and
I think
in
there's
the end, Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson are a problem defensively.
Yeah, but I think they built a team. Like, this is that weird thing of when you build a team to beat a specific team. Like, they put together a team to beat Boston.
Right.
And it's like, all right, they beat Boston. But you flip around, Indiana's not built in the same mold. Like, you know what I mean?
No, that's right. 38 points in transition. 38 points in transition the Pacers had that night, which is the most of any playoff team, any game.
I mean, it did feel like watching
season.
A Thunder game. It was just like steel,
it was
dunk,
yeah,
steel,
it was steel dunk,
dunk,
steel dunk. But it wasn't even steel dunk. It was made basket yeah. dunk. It was just kind of nuts. 18 turnovers, 34 points. They shot 52% from three, and so that was that. And so then you have all this.
Well, we have to ask an important question. Is Jalen Brunson still ahead of Ja?
But yes. What?
Well, just with the end of every, like, every time you lose a series, a guy gets knocked down, like, out of elite status.
I would say so. What's amazing to me is, you know, on Sportsman Like This Morning, they're basically saying that either Tibbs or Cat or someone has to go, right? And it's this, again, one of my truisms in sports. When you lose, everyone hates their team. Or they focus on the flaws
especially
of the team.
Especially in the fashion they lost, where you feel like effort.
Right.
And
and let's be clear. They asked, they had Alan Hahn, who's a radio guy in New York, and they had him on as a guest, and the fill in the blank on this sentence: the Knicks season was, and he said, a success. And They were almost disappointed. Like you have to be almost defiant to say that, because, and this is true, it ended in such a disappointing fashion and a blown opportunity that may never come again. That's the real problem. It is a opportunity that you can do whatever you want with the roster this year,
sure,
and this offseason and whatever. But try to get Giannis,
broke your way.
KD, whatever else. Things broke your way. Now, a lot of it was your own doing.
Sure.
Like, you beat the hell out of the Celtics in the first two games. Like, that was pre-Tatum injury, whatever else.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was your doing, but things were set up to you for you to go to the NBA Finals, and you blew it. So I do understand the disappointment.
Well, think about it this way. They could have had a situation where they were going to have to beat both Boston and Cleveland,
right,
to get to the finals.
And instead,
and you would have thought, like, well, I don't, like, maybe they beat one of them, but you don't know if you can beat both of them.
Instead, you got Boston, which ultimately was diminished by Tatum's injury, and then ultimately, although you had already shown you could beat them, and then
and you had Indiana with home court,
and then you got Indiana with home court, and you blew it. And so, and yet, what is always striking to me is this instinct then to blow it up, which is just like, it's just sort of crazy to me. They had a very good year. The East is going to be weak again. Sure, if you can get Giannis, go get Giannis. If you can get Giannis, go get Giannis. As it was phrased on that show, though, and I think this is true. I don't know who said this. The only way the Knicks can get Giannis is if Giannis drives the decision to go to New York. Because the Knicks don't have enough just on the merits to outbid Houston or San Antonio or Oklahoma City or whoever the hell. They don't have enough to outbid those teams, all in the West, mind you. But if Giannis is saying, this is where I want to go, and is driving it and is making it happen, then you may have to, out of respect for Giannis, we'll see what your obligation is and what that's, I think, the only way he goes there. And by the way, Giannis has not yet said
he wants to be traded.
No, and I have definitely heard people, I mean, Evan Cohen on that earlier show said he doesn't think he will leave. Now, mind you, Evan does commercials for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I want to be clear.
I love that gig, by the way. I love that gig. Like, he's got a national show, and he's not pitching Cialis or Oreos or whatever else.
Ozempic.
He's pitching the state of Wisconsin as a great place to move. But
pretty good golf in the summer, by the way.
Beautiful summers.
Yeah.
Then he does say, but he does say that he doesn't think Giannis. You know, there is something to be said. Dirk Nowitzki did this. A one title guy, one title, one team guy.
Yeah.
Just one title, one team. And
I think as time is going to go on in his career, I think we're going to look back. I think in the era of the dynasties that we kept seeing for, you know, basically since the NBA became the NBA, I think we're entering into an era where you are going to recognize one title's not like a pejorative. Like, the guy only won one title. Like, I think you're going to realize, like, man, it's pretty hard to win a title in this.
Charles Barkley didn't win a title. Speaking of, we'll talk about TNT and other matters. When we return, we got to take a break. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. off air, we were talking about Gus's, and then Jeffrey says, because I went back to Gus's for the first time in a while, and you went back to Memphis Pizza Cafe for the first time in a while.
And I'm just reminded of, probably pound for pound, it's my favorite pizza in town.
It's really good. But you get the hay meat.
Correct.
How do you do it when you go with your family, though?
You can do half and halves.
Oh, so you did half, and what does she get?
So my mom was with us, too.
Oh.
They got the Cajun Chicken Supreme pizza.
Cajun Chicken Supreme.
Yeah. And then my wife and I, we split a chef's salad.
I do typically the pepperoni's great.
Yeah.
Your classic pepperoni's great. The buffalo chicken is crazy
That's usually my wife's favorite.
It's really good. Buffalo chicken's unbelievably good. Shockingly, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, with Claire, we've started sometimes getting half veggie.
Yeah.
Like,
as long as you don't touch it.
No, I eat it now and like it. I eat it and like it. I'm embarrassed to say it's kind of delicious. I eat it and I like it. Is this? It's actually good. So my biggest thing about Memphis Pizza Cafe, which when I first moved to Memphis and was told this is the best pizza in Memphis, and this was, by the way, before we had any of the others, like any of the others hadn't arrived yet. And this was 96, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we did not have much.
Well, we had the old standbys, you know, you had those.
I mean, Pete and Sam's is still up there on pizzas for me.
But I'm like, really? And now I really love it. And it's the opposite of Chicago style. Chicago style, which is good, you can eat one hefty slice of pizza. And if you want to try to plow through a second,
you reevaluate.
Things. Right. I swear to God, I can eat five slices of Memphis Pizza Cafe
like it never
without
even happened.
Like a. Anyway, there you go. Okay. Some other matters that I wanted to discuss about the NBA, Finals. Chris Harrington has a piece up about four lessons from the NBA Finals for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll talk to him about that when he joins the show at 10 o'clock. But we did have the farewell to TNT. We'll give you a little Ernie. Well, here's Ernie's. This was the last game of NBA on TNT, and here's Ernie Sendoff.
Well, try to keep this brief.
Take your time.
Several years ago, I wrote a book called Unscripted, and I asked people to embrace the unscripted, not fear the unscripted. If I had written the script, the NBA and TNT would be together forever. It's not going to happen. But while I was disappointed and I was sad, I was not bitter. We know how business works. Gratitude is the operative word for me. Grateful that, since 1989, I've been with this company. No matter what you call the company, I'll always be Turner. And I'm grateful that I work with you guys. I'm grateful for all of the relationships we've built professionally and personally through the years. You just don't realize that until you see people here on the road and say, hey, this is probably going to be it. And you think back to all the good times you had. So I'm grateful for that, and also grateful that we have members of our crew who are going to go work at NBC or work at Amazon. And you know why they got those jobs? Because their resume says NBA on TNT. So thank you. We have been honored to do this.
We look forward. The four of us, as you've already heard, the four of us are going to be together. Our production crew is going to be together. It's going to be that same bunch. We're still going to be shooting that show in Atlanta. It's just going to air somewhere else. And so the craziness that you've seen, the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, we're sad. But I'm proud to say for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Nice. Choked up there at the end. So I'll ask you this, Jeffrey. Given that literally the exact same show is going to be produced in Atlanta and then shipped to ESPN, was this overkill? Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. We're still. So, one of the things that Shaq kept saying was, "We aren't going anywhere. Like, we're coming for you. We're not." Like, was this overkill? Given that literally you turn on the TV next year and you will see these same four guys doing this show.
So I did not think this year it was overkill. I thought last year when it was in the midst of the negotiation and you kept saying, like, is this going to be the last time? Like, there was this thought that maybe Turner would opt out of the last year just to move on and save some money. Last year, it felt very heavy-handed. This year, I felt like it was fairly appropriate. Like, not everyone is going with them.
No, this is a point that you've made before. And it was overblown to the extent that it was, because people have loved it, right? Because it was transformative. Like, it was one of the most successful studio shows of all time. And so, and it is a moment. So to the extent that there was a lot of hubbub about it, it was well earned. But the point that you've made is that what's really going to be lost or might be in peril is that the TNT game casts, the entire production, has been so much better than on the other networks. And so you like, all right, it's going to be these guys, but once you move it, is it going to be the same? And I think the game casts, obviously, we'll see. Like, we got no idea what they're going to be like on Amazon, what they're going to be like. But the only question to me with this group is, will they clutter it up? You know what I mean? I don't think they can clutter this show up, because this show is going to be produced.
Yeah.
In it. But like, what, like Michael Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith, and like, there's ESPN has their own people who talk about basketball, right? And so how are these things going to intersect, I think, is an interesting question.
I think it's interesting. I'm actually more disappointed that we're losing a guy. Yes.
But he's going to Amazon. He's going to be doing games.
But I don't think he's going to be the number one guy.
Is he not the number one guy? I know he's going to Amazon to do games.
I think Ian Eagle's the number one guy.
Right. Well, that's the thing. So, in terms of announcers, talkers who've made a difference.
Yep.
Like, I'll tune in to watch them. It's not just the game. Or that it really enhances the game when they do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go back. For me, it's the original Monday Night Football sure. crew, right? It's Howard Cosell. Like, that was different. And that was, I think, game day. I think ESPN Game Day has 100%. They created something that didn't exist and has sort of redefined. It is a massive part of college football now, ESPN Game Day. Hell, we saw the impact here in Memphis when ESPN Game Day and this group. Are there others that you put with it?
I think in the NBA, we have a lot of, like, the biggest problem I think right now is ESPN ABC is the number one. Like, they're going to have the finals throughout the course of the contract. And, like, they just haven't gotten the booth right.
Right. No, but I'm asking, who has? What other groups? I mean, who else do you consider iconic?
On,
was Keith Jackson iconic?
Keith
was
Jackson,
John Madden iconic? Like, who else?
Summerall.
Who's in the pantheon?
Pat Summerall.
Madden and Summerall?
Summerall's up there. I mean, as a kid that grew up watching a lot of college football, yeah, he's not the world's perfect announcer, but you felt like when Vern was on the call, it was a big game. I really like Nestler.
But Nestler doesn't turn the doesn't people no one
no.
turn you may like them just like everyone loves Kevin Harlan, right? But no one turns on the TV for Kevin Harlan like they turn on the TV for game day or it's different. Or but the when Madden walks in the door,
it's a different
it is
thing.
Event. Vitale, once upon a time, briefly, more because he's a caricature than anything else. That but when those guys walk in the door, you're like, oh, let me ask you this: do you consider Jim Nance that way? Iconic.
Nance is more syrupy.
Well, he's definitely syrupy. Like, people
like,
sort
I
of
think,
wince a little
like,
at
I know
Nance.
It hasn't gone well at the end, but, like, I have Al at a different level than Jim Nance.
Well, Al was 100% big game Al. Like, I mean, you know, back to the Olympics, right? Like, it goes.
And Monday Night Football.
And Monday Night Football.
I actually
it
think
really
the
Al now feels like Willie Mays staggering around in the outfield.
He's just cashing a paycheck. I think as time
and now we've got AI Al.
Yes,
you know,
no one asked for that. I think as time has gone on, we're starting to realize Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are pretty good.
Well, and they moved.
Yeah,
they picked up and moved to a new network, and I don't know that anything's changed.
No, but they still feel like a big game when you're watching them.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like they've made the transition seamlessly. I actually think, and I'll be interested in this. Like I while I acknowledge that TNT has been great. That crew and has changed everything. And I am not a snob around guy. These guys, like I like the shtick. I like the shtick.
Yeah.
I do think that when Barkley and Shaq don't even know the names of players, that it gets to be a little bit like, come on, man, seriously.
I just get insanely jealous.
Well, there's that too. There's that.
It's like,
too.
Can you imagine how great of a setup that would be that you didn't really have to get anything right? I mean, I do think it's interesting, and maybe this is just the way of the world that it's all going generic and it's all. But like, I don't think Fox has gotten the number one football booth right. Like, I think Burkhart's fine, but Brady is.
No, well, that's certainly true.
A problem.
Yeah, I think Brady's a problem.
I think the other thing with TNT that you realize is, and I'd mentioned this to you, because I had no idea when TNT took over the French Open, and I know not everybody's glued to the French Open, but I told you, I've been very pleasantly surprised
yeah,
at how great
they are.
The audio's been awesome. Like, it's great.
Well, the other thing is that maybe things are generic, but on the other hand, you got the Manning Cast stuff pop. Like, so much of this stuff, you
There's
can watch
avenues.
Things in so many different ways. Now, by the way, on that, originally, when Belichick went to UNC, the news was that he would continue on the Manning Cast. In the last week, it has come out that he will not.
I think Peyton did a radio interview, maybe.
Peyton said he will not continue on the Manning Cast.
It's because Jordan can't produce it.
So there is that. One other thing on the Pacers, and I was kind of surprised by this. My friend Otto Sanford, who was a great journalist and a great Memphian, he on Facebook, said he thinks the best slogan from this NBA playoff series is the Pacers' "Yes, Sirs." They wear shirts that say
yep.
"Yes, Sirs,"
like
and they say instead of Pacers,
yeah.
Y-E-S, apostrophe C-E-R-S.
And I think it's, isn't it yes, comma, like as in like, yes, sirs.
Yes, sirs. Yes. Yeah. It's not pace, sirs. It's yes, sirs. Dumb. I'm here to say dumb. I would, I, not Otis, not Otis.
I think it,
but
I think,
what, is, you love the tape?
No.
Oh, yes, sirs.
No, no.
Yes, say, sirs.
I think it reads worse than it sounds. I think when you say it, it's fine. But when you read it, you're like, that feels heavy handed.
So on a t-shirt is dumb.
I don't like it on a t-shirt, but I don't mind it as a slogan.
But as something you say, I see. I gotcha. I can buy that.
It reads very, very like, wow, you, that's a stretch.
All right. Speaking of a stretch, do you buy this?
Okay.
2014-15 Warriors, okay? On the cusp of dynasty. All right? Here you go. 67-win team.
Yep.
Oklahoma City, 68-win team. Okay? Warriors offense that year, number two in the league. Oklahoma City, number three.
Okay.
Warriors defense that year, number one in the league. Oklahoma City, number one in the league. Curry, age 26 that year, averaged 26.4 points a game. SGA, also 26. MVP.
Steph did not win the MVP, though, in 15,
right? No, he didn't. He did not win the MVP. The second fiddle was Klay Thompson, 24, two-way star. He'd made his first All-NBA team that year, third team.
Yep.
Jaylen, 23, two-way star, made his first All-NBA team that year, third team. Okay? They both have a... this was a little bit of a stretch. This was not mine. This is not my comparison. I think it was from ESPN. They both have a Midwestern center. Center from the Midwest. Draymond at 24 and Chet at 22. Okay? They both have a experienced defensive dude brought in to perk up the defense. Iggy, 31. Caruso, 30. They both have a... center, fairly journeyman center that they bring in from another team to help the cause, Bogut versus Hartenstein. They both had traded away because they just didn't need the firepower, but they needed other things. An offensive star. People wondered about those deals. For the Warriors, it was Monta Ellis. For OKC, it's Josh Giddey. And if you want to go one further, in the offseason, later on, the Warriors team would go ahead and get KD, and OKC was maybe going to get Giannis. But we'll leave that aside.
Yeah.
Do you buy the general framework of this Oklahoma City team is that Warriors team?
I think I can buy it. The two key differences, though, to me is part of what allowed Golden State to sustain the quote-unquote dynasty was the fact that Steph was on such a cheap deal that they were able to go get Durant and not really sacrifice a ton. The Thunder are going to be able to run this back for one more year, but then after that, they're going to have, like, it's a very different CBA. What I have actually been struck by, and I don't know if you feel this way, SGA is poised to have the opportunity to do something truly historic. He would be the first player to win the MVP, the scoring title, the finals,
and championship,
and the finals MVP, and I believe that would be the first time.
Here's what's interesting, though,
since is LeBron, that, but it doesn't feel.
Well, I was going to ask.
I don't
that.
Know. I don't feel like I'm watching history when I'm watching it.
Well, one
is that
the,
me?
If we go back to Steph and early Steph. Did we feel different about early Steph? Because I think you're right. SGA does not fire the imagination. It just does not.
I did when I was watching even young Steph. It's like it's something we haven't
seen
before.
When you were watching Steph that year, this was something we had not seen, and it was. I mean, let's be honest. He's fun to watch. He's a blast to watch. If you get past the mouthpiece thing, right? He's a blast to watch. And no one, it's a huge difference. No one has ever said SGA is fun to watch.
No, it's almost like SGA is the final form of Harden. Like, if Harden were a true, like, championship player. And it's just not a style of basketball that I love. Like, I even, like, think about with LeBron, yes, it's more physical, but you did feel like, even when LeBron is getting over the hump, like, you did feel like you are watching something different.
I haven't done the breakdown with what this Oklahoma City team looks like compared to early Spurs.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is,
that's where,
except for Chris Harrington, no one liked those Spurs teams. No, you didn't hate those Spurs teams because they didn't inspire hatred and they didn't inspire affection. You're just like, well, Tim Duncan's kind of boring. Like, you know, like
they were surgical.
He's fabulous.
Yeah.
He's quiet and he's boring. Right. And he is unbelievably good at what he does.
As a sports fan, he was the type of superstar that you actually want on your team.
100%.
Because you felt like
you want him
the only
on your
thing
team.
He cared about was winning.
You 100% want him on your team, but as a guy who fires the imagination.
No, but in terms of the general public, if you have no rooting interest, snooze fest.
I think that's the issue. I do continue to, and there's no question that in terms of the future of that Warriors team versus the future of this Oklahoma City team, Oklahoma City will have to deal with a very different collective bargaining agreement and a very different salary structure than that Warriors team. And so it has a much bigger impediment. It also has a much, much, much bigger trove of draft picks and assets in order to go ahead and get done what they need to get done. I don't think they're going to be of the mood to go get Giannis, but it is kind of amazing. That would, if they were to go get Giannis, much like that Warriors team want to get KD, then the parallel would even be more spot on. All right. We are going to talk to Chris Harrington when we come back. Before then, I will tell you, if you want something framed, the Frame Corner is the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue, right over here in East Memphis. You walk on in there, as we did with a couple of prints, and you say, listen, these are special to us. And whatever it is, whether it's the golf ball that with which you hit a hole in one, whether it's your grandfather's Arrowhead collection, whatever it is, whether it's graduation pictures, sports memorabilia, you bring it in there and you lay it on the counter and they'll walk you through it. Like, what do you want exactly? What kind of frame? How do you want? Do you want it floated this way or that way? And it comes back and it looks like a museum piece. It looks like, in your house that you'll have forever. You're really enshrining memories when you go to the Frame Corner, and they've been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. When we come back, we will talk to Chris Harrington. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.